Radio you can touch.
Showtime.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Now you feel good because Max, who has a sense of humor of a pie.
Who threw those pies?
Who threw those pies?
Oh, I threw the pies.
Either I'm losing it, my grasp on humor. I mean, I don't know, man.
Jeff Lutz.
Just be honest. The Downtown Athletic Club has no idea what you're doing. They don't know you exist.
Hey, listen, there's a phone call for you.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
No logic, no reason, no explanation. Just a prolonged nightmare.
Are you ready? Let's go!
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting, Max Power producing, engineering. We have a guest here at the top of hour number two, Brian Green, entering his second year now as Wichita State baseball coach. We'll get him here shortly.
Yeah, we're going to have a guest, we hope.
Take over.
Anything that can get me off Twitter for the next 20 minutes.
Why? What have you been looking at?
We're apoplectic.
Oh, Jeff.
Well,
you gotta just roll with the punches.
It's embarrassing.
What'd you do? What did you
Will think? Brennan is batting cleanup.
Who cares?
In Yankee Stadium.
The left-handed hitter. Got the short port.
No power.
Well, maybe this will ignite him.
I want to cry. I really do.
You never know.
I want to shed tears.
What the Cardinals have done today should be criminal.
Openly. Well, what have they done today?
They sent Jordan Walker down a week after calling him up and not playing him very much. The Cardinals are going to... John Mozeliak should be fired today. These people don't know what the hell they're doing. They seriously don't.
I feel you.
What's the owner doing? Is the owner now so old that he just doesn't know? I mean, Bill DeWitt's an old man. Come on, Bill. Snap out of it.
It's like they think we don't notice as fans that
how old is Bill
they're
DeWitt?
Inept. I don't know.
I mean, let's give him...
doesn't he have nephews and sons he's going to pass?
I mean, a son, Bill DeWitt III, but...
82. The Guardians are never going to be free of the Dolan family, it seems, although that's coming relatively soon.
I am so envious right now of the Royals. Because they are doing it right, and it's pretty amazing, really.
I'm not really envious. I don't need to watch Michael Wacha pitch. But
see, it's getting to you.
I would like some excitement.
I can feel it. It's getting to you.
It really is.
And it's only going to get worse.
It's not getting to me. It has permeated my soul. I am a broken man as I sit before you today.
Just sitting, making sure that Coach Green was settled in here for 3 o'clock today. That's the communication I had with their media relations guy, Denning Gehrig. So either we've forgotten or we've said, and this is always a possibility, we said this show isn't worth my time. I don't want to be on it.
That's very possible.
When that starts to happen, we're in trouble.
Nah. We can provide plenty of material on our own.
No, I don't have enough material. I need some guests to put me back in my reporter mode.
You don't have enough material?
Listen.
I appreciate you admitting that.
I can only do comedy mode for so many hours in a day.
Well, zero.
I got to do some reporter mode as well.
Who do you go to? Your guys,
comedy?
Your guy's Bernie Miklas when you need to vent. I
watch him every day. He now has a YouTube. He'll be... I got beat writers. Derek Gould, who's about as vanilla as that table. And the table's vanilla.
We have Zach Meisel.
And he's a nice guy. He covers the team well, but you can't get an opinion out of him because he's a beat writer.
Well, of course. That's his job. His job is not is literally to not give opinion.
Now, what I've done, I've crossed the Rubicon, because now what I do is I engage with them. So he tweeted out about this, and I tweeted back to him, "Does Jordan Walker, is he mentally strong enough to withstand the malfeasance of these idiots?" Well, no, seriously. Imagine poor Jordan Walker. Here's probably the best prospect you've had.
He made your opening day roster last year.
Last year, he made the opening day roster. He struggled a little at the outset. They sent him out, said you need to work on your launch angle. Came back, he hit 270.
Still not hitting homers, 15
or 16 homers. As a rookie?
It's not terrible.
As a rookie?
I'm just trying to play whatever other side there might be.
There's no other side.
But there's no other side to putting Daniel Schneeman in your lineup. We're both just...
I don't want to hear about Daniel
Schneeman.
We're both
in a bad place.
You're 20 games over.
Who cares? I mean, this is going to evaporate quicker than the morning rain.
Well, I tried to tell you that earlier, and
I'm telling you.
I got chastised for it.
I don't want to watch. If it's going to be...
Here's what I've learned about baseball. The last 2 months of the season is where it's make or break. That's where it happens. Some teams have it, and some teams don't. Some teams fold like a cheap accordion. I've seen it too many times. You get to August and September, and that's where you make or break. The other months are fine, but they don't really establish anything. You know what
I'm
saying?
Not unless the team's running away with it, and it's just...
So the teams that get really hot in these months, like the Royals, for instance, that's why I told you the other day they're going to win the division.
Well, I need to see them play some real teams.
You will.
Soon, and then I'll make that assessment. Guardians are making real teams out of every opponent because they put Daniel Schneeman in the lineup and Brian Rocchio.
Well, he's terrible, and you're terrible for liking them.
I am.
And you should have picked a better team.
Is there still time to do that?
I'll tell you, the Padres.
No, not going to go to the... Well, maybe.
The Padres are somewhat likable.
A little. Fernando Tatis got popped for steroids, though.
Yeah.
Not that we don't forgive him.
They play in my favorite city in the country, although I've never been to a game there.
You're not going to stay up till midnight to watch him.
No, I'm not.
Nor am I. So it's got to be the Mets. I might as well put myself through...
I don't like the Mets.
Misery.
I've had too many rivalry things with them in the 80s.
I don't dislike the Mets.
Do you know how intense that was?
I'm a Mets fan.
Do you understand...
Tonight I'm watching the Mets.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Do you understand how intense it was between the Cardinals and Mets in the 80s? When they were in the same division.
Those were the two.
And they were battling it out.
Especially in the mid-80s.
Yes. It was
mid to late.
I couldn't stand them. I remember being in Jackson, Tennessee. At that time, they were playing for the championship.
When was this?
In the Texas League.
What year, approximately?
I don't know. The 80s.
Where was I? Was I born?
I don't know. You were somewhere. I left you in a crib somewhere and told somebody to look in on you. I don't remember what happened. Somebody looked in on you, I hope.
Well, probably my mother.
Well, I don't know what happened.
Where's Brian Green?
I thought you enjoyed the banter.
I do. But now I'm getting unnerved.
Don't worry about Brian Green.
Okay.
I thought you didn't worry.
I don't. I'm not worried. I'm unnerved.
But anyway, I was in Jackson, Tennessee, and the Cardinals were playing the Mets in a late season big series, September, and the Wichita Pilots at that time. So it was either 86 or 87, because those were the only 2 years of the Pilots.
The Jackson team was
I think it was 86 because Roberto Alomar was on that team.
Have I been wrong this whole time?
And so I'm playing, they're playing Jackson.
Hold on.
And I'm so glued in.
Can I just ask you a question?
I'm so glued into the Cardinals and Mets.
I'm going to leave.
That I couldn't.
Can I ask you a question, please?
I was a wreck.
So the Jackson Generals, that was Tennessee?
No, Jackson, Mississippi.
You said you were in Jackson, Tennessee.
No, I didn't say that.
I
said Jackson, Mississippi.
No, you did not.
I was in Jackson, Mississippi.
That's not what you said, sir.
And we were there forever because it kept raining. So these games get rained out, and they play the next day, and that gets rained out. We must have been in Jackson for 2 weeks.
Were they the Jackson Mets at one point?
Not 2 weeks, but you know what I'm saying.
I wasn't listening.
And the Pilots ended up winning the Texas League Championship.
Exciting stuff.
I have to look back on that. That was a fun time in my life.
Was it? I'm going to quiz you, I think.
Well, this is just unacceptable for the coach to...
Well, he's certainly out there recruiting.
Well, here's what we'd like to have happen.
Okay.
When we confirm a guest, we want that guest to be with us. It's tough booking guests for this show.
It's not easy.
You can't go to the well too often. You got to think of people who may be new to the show. Like with these Big 12 previews, you think that's been easy?
Absolutely not.
No, be honest. Look in my eyes.
I'm quizzing you.
What's the quiz?
It's Texas
League. I thought we were going to play a game here in a little bit.
We are.
Let's not start the game.
This isn't the game.
Have that be part of the game.
It's not.
Texas what?
Texas League nicknames.
Oh. I'll kill this.
Can you name any team out of Albuquerque? There were two.
Well, Dukes and Isotopes.
Yeah, I'm talking about Texas League. It was Isotopes or AAA, right? Albuquerque Dodgers was the other one. What about Amarillo?
Sky Sox.
Close. I'll give it to
you. Sod Poodles.
Yeah, they were the Gold Sox. The Gold Sox.
Well, they were never in the Texas League when I covered the Texas League.
Amarillo wasn't.
Right. So why are you, and neither was Albuquerque.
But what about, how many El Paso teams can you name?
Diablos.
Yeah, that one's easy. What about, this is kind of, can you name any of the Dallas teams that came through?
I don't know who. Dallas didn't have a Texas League team.
They had seven.
Not when I was covering them.
Eight, nine.
Stars?
No, they were the Eagles, Giants, Griffins, Mariners, Rangers, Rebels, Steers, Submarines.
I don't care about all that.
Spurs.
Ask about the teams I covered.
Well, that's easy. Jackson.
Generals. And then they became the Mets.
I think it was the other way around.
Whatever they were. They were the Mets and the Generals.
What about Midland?
Midland?
Yeah.
Well, they're the Rockhounds. Midland. Oh, what were they? It was a fairly normal name.
Yeah, because that's the team they were affiliated with.
The Midland Angels.
Yes, and they were the Midland Cubs for a little while. San Antonio's had a bunch of teams.
Missions.
Do you know any others?
No.
Do you know what Round Rock was when they were in the Texas?
Express.
They're now in AAA. Shreveport.
Shreveport Captains.
What are they now?
I don't know. They're not in affiliated baseball.
Swamp Dragons at one point.
Whatever.
Tulsa. I mean, this is all pretty easy.
Tulsa Drillers.
I bought a Wichita Witches shirt today.
Tulsa was something different back in their AAA days, and I can't remember what they were.
Oilers.
Yeah, Tulsa Oilers.
Yeah, of course.
All right, there you go. Is that it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that was okay.
That wasn't the game, though. That was just a little quick quiz.
Yeah, it was okay.
I thought there'd be
all right.
More historical stuff.
We will take a break.
We don't need to take a break right now.
Yeah, we'll come back and play the game.
The game's not that
involved. We'll play the game when we come back.
I guess.
The Bob and Jeff Show is here on KFH. Word from Den and Gehrig. Not getting a response from Coach. Not sure what the issue is. I apologize for this.
That's all right.
It's not on you, Denning.
It's all right, Den.
Den, I'm going to tell you right now. You get it done. That's why we go to you.
You see a lot of people named Gehrig. And I know his name isn't spelled the same. You get that first name from baseball fans. You don't meet a lot of people with the last name Gehrig.
Hmm? We'll be back.
You get it.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Brian Green joins us now on the hotline, head baseball coach at Wichita State. Brian, welcome. How are you today?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I do have to say, as a former Southern California resident and also living in Honolulu for 2 years, when I hear the traffic report in Wichita, I always just have a smile on my face because there just really rarely is traffic in Wichita, and I sure appreciate that.
Well, the traffic's actually gotten worse in the past 5 years, but yeah.
I think
compared to those places, we're pretty good.
I think you just wanted to tell us you lived in Southern California and Hawaii, and we got that message, Brian, so thank you.
And you know what? Maybe very clearly I tried to slip it in. I saw an opportunity, and I ran with it.
So it's very hard nowadays for somebody like me who's not in the game, like I used to be at the Eagle, to keep up with the comings and goings and the transfer portal and everything that goes on there. Give us your assessment of where Shocker baseball is now that the dust is cleared.
Yeah, here we are, culture training week with school starting yesterday. We've already met with the team twice. Today we're having what's called a Pride Day, and it's Pride in the Facility Day. So we've got 48 young men out cleaning out the facility and just making that statement that's, before we get on the field, we need to make sure that we have cleaned it up the way that it's supposed to be and feeling great. But status of the program, guys, after playing for a championship last year and making that run in May, which was really exciting after an abysmal April, we're really, really excited for a couple of reasons. One, what the coaching staff did in recruiting and the transfer portal, but two, I think more importantly, what speaks to our culture and gives us the confidence of where we are right now is we'll bring back and retain 24 players, and that's a large number in today's current climate of athletics. And for us, when Mauricio Meehan, Cam Johnson, Dernan, Rogers, Callahan, Livingston, Gustafson, and Lane Hayworth, who were all starters at one point last year, return, along with Tyler Dobbs, Brady Hamilton, Caleb Anderson, Hunter Holmes, you name it. We're really excited. So the bulk of our team comes back, and that is extremely exciting. Davin Johnson to graduation, as well as Seth Stroh. We lost Derek Williams to the portal, and we lost Tommy Lepore to the portal. Other than that, we've got an entire group of guys that that competed here last year who are back here picking up trash today.
How much was and has been starting pitching depth at the top of your list? Because at the top of the rotation last year, you were fantastic. It got a little dicier once you got into the midweek games. So how much of a focus has that been? Just, you know, especially when you go into tournaments late in the season and you want to have enough arms to get through.
Yes, sir. That was priority number one. You know, we had a couple of immediate goals that we wanted to hammer, and we needed to get through the portal to see where we were going to be from a retention standpoint. But from a pitching standpoint, feeling like you're three, if not four arms short last year, particularly with the balance of left and right and being able to match up and extend our matchup, we had good matchup situations. If Hunter Holmes is in the game left and left, we were probably going to be successful, but if we needed him in the seventh, we didn't have an answer to come back with another left on left in the ninth. So if you heard me say earlier, 48 guys in camp, we've got four, if not five guys potentially injured this fall. Not sure if they'll return in the fall or not. So we covered our tracks with five more arms. And guys, this is the most deep that Coach Claggett and I have been since 18 in terms of old guys, experienced guys, and then a really good balance of left and right. I know we're always optimistic early in the year, but we sure like our team on paper in terms of left, right, old, and experience at previous schools.
Brian Green with us, Wichita State head baseball coach. So how do you treat the fall? I know that some coaches look at it as a very important time. Some try to let off the gas a little bit and make sure the right guys get the work. How do you treat fall baseball? How important is it to the development of some of your players?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's a two-part question with regards to the returning players, particularly the players that did a lot for us last year. You know, we're really a little bit more development-driven with them. If there are adjustments to be made with them, we'll make it really early in the fall and let them use those adjustments into the inter-squad and scrimmage games, knowing that they're going to have a fairly lengthy leash come season time. With the new players, we treat them a little bit differently. We give them a little more time to just be evaluated. We recruited them for a specific reason, or in the recruiting process, if we told them we were going to make a change, we would do that quickly. But the fall for us is about building up trust. It's about building our culture, and it's about guys just creating a resume that they're going to be competitive. I told our team last night that the grinders win, and the guys who put their heads down and just get after it every day, and the end of the day are going to find themselves on the field. And reminded our team that Cam Johnson hit 071 last fall and had three hits, and one was a swinging bunt and one was a flare. But he just kept his head down and kept playing. And next thing you know, he hits 330 as a freshman and makes the all-freshman team. And Lane Hayworth didn't even play until essentially mid-March. So we're really just trying to build a resume. The players are. This is what we're instructing them to do, is just how competitive are you? Because that's going to build up our trust. Obviously, they've got to have some skills. But we're really just trying to get a beat on who can handle adversity, who can be consistent workers, and who can show enough of stuff for us to project. Because at the end of the fall, we'll still have to make some adjustments or some recommendations on, you know, if somebody goes to a junior college or if we're going to redshirt somebody. But we do, guys. It comes fast. I mean, come November 1, we would like to feel like we feel who our 40 are, and we'd like to feel like we know who those 5 and 6 starters are as we go into the offseason.
So you didn't lose much to the transfer portal, as you mentioned. You lost a couple big pieces. And I'm just curious, in general, if it's – do you take that personally at all? I mean, I feel like I probably would. Is it tough to get – to not get disillusioned when you put in work and help guys develop and, you know, make sure they go to class and everything like that and they leave? How do you turn the page from something like that?
Well, I just, you know, we remind ourselves that at the end of the day, we are a business. And, you know, with what NIL has done, and more importantly, what the transfer portal has done and the current climate of just, you know, if you don't get what you want, kick over to the next place. And then the grass is always greener. I think we went into it last year knowing that we were just going to lose some really good players. And I think guys at the end of year one, with the high amount of retention that we had, we feel pretty good about what we're doing. But yeah, I think it's impossible to not take it personal, particularly with those players that come in and you develop them. You know, you watch them kind of screw around in the classroom, and the next thing you know, they're on the honor roll, and you see their demeanor change, and maybe it's pitch development or swing development. But I just do think at the end of the day, that's a part of the business that we're in, and if we do a good job with our culture, the percentages will stay more in our favor than not. And but it's a part of the business. And I think it's really important for us here in our program that with culture being as important as it is and the relationships that we want to have with our players, just year in and year out, we're going to try to do the best job that we can of having an awesome locker room experience. And then know on the front end that we're going to probably lose somebody that we really care about and probably will disagree with their decision. They're going to go somewhere else. And that's just the business that we're in, unfortunately.
Brian Green with us, Wichita State head baseball coach. So with NIL, the transfer portal, and now the increase in the number of scholarships you can offer, how does that all mix together? What do you do with these added scholarship money? Does that mean more full rides? Does that mean more players involved in getting some assistance? How's that all going to shake out?
Yeah, pretty crazy new passage of laws in Congress right now, and now waiting for the NCAA to come in and right. Be specific with how it's going to run. But with regards to baseball, you know, with a 40-man roster and currently 32 scholarship slots, if you had some COVID waivers and extra players, but on 11.7 scholarships over those numbers, now being allowed and adjusted to 34. So where we are in a climate is a waiting period. So 34 is the number for baseball next year, and what the coaches are waiting on across the country is that 34 number going to be when school starts? Is that your roster cap? Or are we going to a hard 34 roster cap when your season starts? Either way, guys, we're waiting for those answers. As it impacts what we do at the break with these kids, it impacts how many kids you sign in the fall period. And for me personally, I know it's around the corner very fast, but I would like to just operate under the assumption that we're going to just play the game as to what it is right now. And as soon as we make that change, we'll make our adjustments just so we're not caught off-handed.
What is something that really worked for you maybe last year that, I don't know, maybe you hadn't necessarily gone with in your coaching style, or what was different about Wichita State? Because you got so close to getting to the postseason. I imagine you'll probably want to do a lot of the same things you did last year to get to the postseason. But what did you learn? What was different about the experience overall compared to other places you've been?
And another awesome question. That was what we discussed just the other day. Last week we went off grid and we told our players on the 12th, 13th, and 14th, the coaches won't be available. And we took our retreat out at Flint Hills National in one of the lodges and closed our phones off and hunkered down. And those are the questions that we asked ourselves, just in terms of, let's start with what went well. Because, you know, so many times, as we all know as coaches, your memory is stuck on maybe the 10th inning the entire summer, or the bad sixth inning in the tournament, or maybe a little bit of April. And that can just dominate our thoughts. But so we really were specific with it. And to answer your question, guys, it was the culture piece is always important to me. But we went all in on that, more so than I've ever gone in, and I think more so than any of our coaches had gone in. So when we got to November last year, there were a lot of parts of the game that we hadn't covered that we went into essentially a crash course on, like skill development for the infielders or short game fundamentals. We worked on it, but it was very broad. And we went all in on locker room and culture. And we did it because we had 35 new players. And we honestly, genuinely thought the only way we're going to be able to be competitive was to, A, recruit a physical group of hitters. Maybe not athletic and aren't going to be able to steal a lot of bases, but if we can be strong and hit doubles and drive some walks or get some on-base percentage, that's one way to win. Get as much pitchability on the mound as we can, and then just work really hard at culture. And you know, the question, how do you work hard at culture? Well, it's got to be player-driven. We've got to invest in outside groups coming in, and we've got to be very intentional with many, many leadership exercises today. And at the end of the day, that stuff sounds great, but what really went well for us and what we learned the most was when you have great senior leadership, you've got a chance to win. And last year's team was driven by Caden Favors and Mauricio Mion and Rogers and Stroh. And with that, what do we learn and what do we need to maintain? Make sure that we're doing a great job of working hard to develop leadership so we can have that again. And I've been really proud of this first week. We did an introduction exercise today led by the seniors. Nobody screwed around. They took it really serious. And everybody's body language is good. And those are the exciting things that I think. So maintain our culture, keep that front and center with what we do. Where can we improve? One, we can improve recruiting-wise athletically so we can have a faster team and do more. And then get more left-right on the mound. We feel like we've done that in recruiting. So we need to maintain the culture, but we need to work harder at the fundamentals in the fall period than we did last year.
All right, Brian, we really appreciate it. Wichita State 32-29 last year, won 10 of their last 13 games, made it to the championship game of the AAC tournament. How's the schedule coming together for 2025?
Boy, we sure like it. Again, some of the things that you learned from a year ago, what maybe to do or not to do, but we will mimic our weekend schedule in terms of first 2 weeks on the road. At McNeese State down in Lake Charles to open up, and then we'll go to Hawaii for 5 games, and then we'll come back home to Eck for 3 consecutive weekends with Cal State Fullerton and Missouri State, and then Louisiana Tech before we open up conference. We'll still play Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas, and K-State, but we won't have any double midweeks against different opponents. We'll only play once. Home and home with the Kansas schools, one time with the Oklahoma schools. and really try to improve on our rest. And I think that's one of the reasons why we improved in May is we weren't wobbling as much. So the schedule has really come together. We like it. We've got 54 committed right now. We still have two more slots available. And when fall baseball starts September 13th, we'll go to Nebraska for a fall scrimmage on September 21st. And then we'd invite the fans to come out October 19th. The Dallas Baptist will come here if you want to get a sneak peek at the Shocker baseball team in the fall this year.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time. We'll visit soon.
We appreciate you guys. Thanks, guys. Go Shock.
Thanks.
Brian Green, Wichita State baseball coach. We probably don't want to get into the game with just this limited time left.
No, probably not.
We'll do it tomorrow.
I don't think that's happened.
Why don't you just enjoy the frivolity instead of trying to... This is what bothers me about doing a show with my son.
What's that?
You're so threatened. You don't like hearing...
Why do you think I'm... What?
You don't like hearing me say something that could be construed as whatever.
What do you think I'm threatened by legitimately?
I think you're threatened.
By what?
I just...
By your made-up past? That can't be it.
I just think you're threatened.
I guarantee you I'm not. Do you want me to be? Is that?
I think you look at me and say, man, that guy had a great life. And look at me. I mean, there's some of that, right?
Sure, yeah.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. What time is it?
Why are you so hung up on time?
I'm not.
We've got a good 9 minutes left in this show.
Oh, I can't wait. What are we going to fill them with?
I don't know what we're going to do. I'm looking forward to football getting here. It seems like with football, you can always have a topic, right? We're in that kind of that prelim.
Yeah, that's what people want, I guess. There's Misty coming downstairs. That's sweet. We're in that, but you know, you tell me no one cares about the Guardians, and I tell you nobody cares about the Cardinals. But if we talked about the Seahawks, somehow people care? Is that...
It's a national sport.
I get it.
It's a national sport.
But do people really care about the Seahawks?
They care because it's a national sport. So when we're talking Guardians or Cardinals, and if you talk Guardians in Cleveland, you got a hit. If you talk Cardinals in St. Louis, that's all they're talking about today. They can't stop talking about it.
You don't think they talk St. Louis Battlehawks football?
No, not very much. Not when these clowns are running the team. And in Kansas City,
I'm going to get a St. Louis Battlehawks.
In Kansas City, they're talking Royals. Now, we could get on here an hour a day
but
and
I'm
talk
asking.
About the Royals every day. I would rather put a pin, a sewing needle through my eye.
We'd ball pay to see that.
I don't think that's interesting. But that's me. I think you talk about the Royals because they're having an incredible year. Out of nowhere, I can't emphasize enough how impressed I am. Nobody, outside of maybe me, thought this was going to happen. I think there was a show in the winter where I said, and you agree, right?
I
you
don't
remember
know.
That. But you remember it.
I don't know, and I don't...
But
honestly,
you remember it. Be honest with us.
I don't.
Be honest with the audience.
You don't remember it. I don't remember it.
I kind of do
remember.
You
say that stuff every year to tweak me, and that's fine.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. I'm sure you said it last winter, too.
No.
The previous winter.
I saw what the Royals were doing, and I said they'll be better. But I didn't think this. I'm not going to claim that. Although I may have said, watch out.
I'm not watching out. I don't care.
You've got 7 games left against the Royals.
Hope we lose them all.
You really? That's where you are?
Kinda.
Really?
This team doesn't.
What a terrible
Chris
fan.
Chris Antonetti doesn't deserve to send a team into the playoffs.
What a,
and have his legacy fulfilled or enhanced? It just no.
What a terrible fan you are. You are a terrible fan.
I'm one of the worst, but give me something.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Give
what if
me
they
something.
Beat the? What if they will go 6-1 against the Royals the rest
what
of the
way? What if they tried to win the World Series? What if they actually said they got together in December and
well,
said,
made some moves.
You know, we got Schneeman.
Got Boyd and Cobb and Lane Thomas. Those were all.
No, but I'm talking about trying to win.
Sometimes the moves don't pan out.
Lane Thomas is not going to win. You know, they weren't a Lane Thomas away from real success.
Here's what they expected from Lane Thomas. He's going to come in and he's going to crush left-handed pitching. He's going to have an on-base percentage of 330. He's going to have some power. He's been atrocious. This isn't what they thought. And that's not.
Well, that's because they're hitting him second against right-handers a lot.
But he hits second. I mean, this guy's got some talent. He's not just a scrub. He's just been cold since he got.
And misused by an inept organization.
Well, I hope you're just as inept
that
as
hasn't given itself options,
and you haven't given yourself an option.
So, well,
you jumped to this organization.
Lane, batting second, playing center today, bud.
You jumped to this organization when you were 11 years old.
I sure did.
And you made the biggest mistake of your life.
No, I didn't.
Because they haven't won a thing for you.
It's been a huge mistake.
Right.
I regret it. Minute by minute.
They haven't won a thing for you.
And they don't try. They don't say, you know what our fans deserve after 78 years?
I would honestly bet that they don't win a World Series in your lifetime.
Don't care. They don't deserve it.
And I'll be watching from wherever I am.
Nah.
And I'll.
I won't.
I don't know if you can. I don't know what you can do from those places. I don't know if I can haunt or I don't know. I've heard of haunted things.
Well,
I mean,
can you haunt Daniel Schneeman's bat?
I've heard of ghosts. Some people say they're real. What I will do every season, okay, the last day of every season, starting in 15 years, I hope I got, you know, we don't want it to happen too soon.
That doesn't seem
the
like.
The last day of every season, I will come down. From or come up from where I don't know how it works.
Well, it'll be coming up,
but I'll come into wherever you are
if you
and
feel like
scare the hell out of you.
No, you won't.
With a little giggle that says, "You lost again," and you'll be terrified.
No, I don't care. It ruins my night because now I'm not going to watch this atrocious excuse. For a
who do
team,
they play?
The Yankees.
Oh, they'll get
so
killed.
So how do I feel this time now? I'm not doing it. I'm not supporting a team.
Oh, you'll watch.
And an organization that puts this on the field for me.
You'll watch.
No,
you can't help yourself.
I will not.
Because there's nothing else to watch.
I'll find something.
I'll watch some of the Cardinals tonight, especially the pregame, so I can listen to these homers talk about how good they are. I want to go to St. Louis. I want to go up into the booth, and I want to punch Chip Carey.
Do it.
No, seriously.
You know who you wouldn't want to punch? Rick Manning. He calls it like it is.
Thank goodness.
And he
Jim Edmonds does to a certain degree.
Rick Manning does not
Brad
care.
Brad Thompson's the most milquetoast guy in the history of baseball. Al Hrabowski, on the days he knows where he is pretty good.
He's on this show before.
Al, I forgive me for that statement.
Al's great. He's the Mad Hungarian.
I love Al Hrabowski. Number 39.
Sure.
Well, again, there you go.
Not looking.
You are.
No, I'm not.
You want to know, is he right? Was Al Hrabowski number 39? You know it. You know he was. You don't even need to look.
I don't, and I won't. I refuse.
The Mad Hungarian.
Football.
I'm ready for football. I like
give
football.
Me a break.
I like football. And I'm looking forward.
I like
forward.
Football, too, but they don't go through it.
They go through it. Fans go through it, but they don't go through it as often.
No, they don't. They get their pretzels and their beer. They don't really have. No.
They go through it. It's not as intense, although every game counts for more. So if you lose a few, but the Chiefs showed last year, as long as you get in, you can go on the road. They went on the road and won everything.
Right, they won one home game. But
yeah. With a with not an excellent team. But they were excellent when they needed to be.
Of course.
And this year they're going to be excellent right out of the chute.
It's possible.
That's my prediction.
I think they'll have the same kind of year.
Even though they have Baltimore and Cincinnati to open the season. Both at home, both at Arrowhead. That'll be fun.
Tough.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We have come to the end. We appreciate all of you. And we'll be back tomorrow. See you then.